All right, if you have a Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12. All right, and let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we can gather together and study a portion of your word. Please bless each of the girls and boys in attendance today. Bless their families. Lord, please save souls and add to our church if it would be will. Please bless our pastor as he leads the services next door. Please bless Brother Philip and the teens upstairs. Lord, please forgive us of our sins. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 12. Also, let me remind you about Sunday school. I always want to have a reminder to Sunday school. Anybody remember what time Sunday school starts? 9:30, yes. So please come Sunday morning if you can. Bring your Bible if you have one. If you don't have a Bible, maybe talk to Mr. Dewberry, talk to me. Maybe we can hook you up with a Bible, okay? And if you're kind of hungry on Sunday morning, you get here early, we have a room for breakfast. You can have cereal. You can have some cereal, have a quick breakfast before Sunday school starts if you get here earlier and you're a little hungry, okay? So that's a quick advertisement for Sunday school. All right, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12. Last time I did teaching, it was Matthew chapter 9. And some of this is going to be kind of similar in that we're just kind of be looking at miracles that Jesus does, certain people's reaction to those miracles, and reasons for doing the miracles in the first place, and things like that. Okay, so let's dig right in. The first section I'm going to be reading is chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Okay? It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. Okay, does anybody know what the Sabbath is? Okay, day to worship God. It's also a day to rest. Okay, it's a day to rest. Okay. And it kind of has to do with creation, okay? What did God do on creation week? He created things day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and on the seventh day, God rested, okay? Did God need to rest? No, he doesn't get tired. But he did it as an example for us and then a plan for us, okay? We work, and rest, okay? But now in this new covenant, we rest on the first day and remember Christ's resurrection. And we rest on Sunday, and then we work. Okay? But in Old Testament times, and then I guess into the time of Christ, the Sabbath was the last day of the week, which is Saturday. And you're supposed to rest, okay? But let's keep reading. Verse 2. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Who are the Pharisees? Anybody remember who the Pharisees are? They were the Jewish religious leaders at that time, okay? They were very scholarly. They were supposed to be well-read of the Old Testament. They were supposed to know their Bible frontwards and backwards. They were supposed to be leaders. They were supposed to be teachers. They were supposed to help the people know God's word and know God, okay? But these Pharisees didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was, okay? They didn't think Jesus was the Messiah, okay? So they're scoffing or they're kind of pointing accusation fingers at Jesus and his disciples because they're taking these crops on a Sabbath day to eat. So Jesus replies to them. He said to them, have you not read when David did, when he was hungry and those who were with him? Verse 4, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for them to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law on how the Sabbath that the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless. Okay, so Jesus gives them some examples of where, okay, some work is necessary or something is necessary, okay? Jesus says, going on further here, verse 6, I tell you something greater than the temple is here. Who is Jesus talking about when he says something greater than the temple is here? Who do you think he's talking about? He's talking about himself, okay? Jesus, God the Son. He says, something greater than the temple is here. And if you know what this means, I desire mercy or steadfast love and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Who's the Son of Man? When Jesus is talking about saying the Son of Man, who's he talking about? Anybody know? Well, he's talking about himself. He's calling himself that. That's kind of like a nickname he has for himself. When Jesus says, I am the Son of Man, that's what he's calling himself. And he says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, that means the Sabbath, Jesus is the Lord over the Sabbath. Okay, and the something greater is Jesus. And when he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, do you guys remember when I said this? And this was in my lesson last time in chapter 9. Okay. He said this to them earlier in chapter 9. He said, I desire mercy, or you could put steadfast love there and not sacrifice, and you could put religious ceremonies there. These Pharisees were all about outward appearances. They were all about religious ceremonies and trying to look like they were worshiping God. But on the inside, they had a sin problem. They had a heart problem, okay? And they didn't love the people they were supposed to be ministering to, okay? They didn't love the people they were supposed to be teaching and preaching the Bible to, okay? They were supposed to be ministering to these people and leading them, but all they really cared about was themselves. And they were even adding on oppressive rules that were outside of Scripture that would make it harder for the people. Okay? So these Pharisees weren't ministering to the people the way they should. And Jesus is reminding them of that. Okay? Jesus challenges how the Pharisees interpret the Sabbath. Just like your Sunday school teacher or your ABC Kids teacher. Okay, we love you. We want you to hear the gospel message. We want you to hear the Bible. Okay, that's why we have lessons. That's why we have teaching time. Okay, because we love the people we're supposed to be ministering to. And that's you boys and girls. All right, so Jesus is greater than the temple. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus is challenging how these Pharisees are twisting around what the Sabbath is really all about. Okay, it's about rest. Okay, now let's continue. Verse 9. He went on from there, and he entered the synagogue. In verse 10, a man was there with a withered hand. I guess he had some kind of deformed hand, or maybe he didn't have full strength in his hand. Okay? And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. They were trying to trick him into doing something. Okay? Because they thought it would be illegal for Jesus to heal this person's hand on the Sabbath. Okay? So Jesus says, which one of you who has a sheep, if the sheep falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and try to lift it out? Jesus also says to the man who had the injured hand, he said, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, and it was healthy, just like his other hand. Okay, so Jesus healed this guy's hand. Are the Pharisees going to be happy about this and say, woo, good job, Jesus, we're so happy. Wow, we're so glad this guy's hand's back to being regular again and he can have full strength. Are the Pharisees going to cheer this action, Mr. Hughes? No. They're like, nope. You did this on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to. Okay? And Jesus compared this man who has this withered hand to a sheep. Okay? Jesus says if one of your sheep fell down in a pit, you'd try to rescue him on the Sabbath. Okay? Who's more valuable, a man's injured hand or a sheep? Yes, yes. Human beings are way more valuable than animals. We love our pets. We love our animals. Okay? But a person's way more valuable than an animal. Okay? I understand people can upset us sometimes, and animals are usually, if they're our pets, they love us all the time. And sometimes we get mad at people, and we love our pets. But boys and girls, please get this right. Humans are more important than animals. Okay? So Jesus compares this guy's issue to the sheep falling in the pit. He says, you guys would get your sheep out of the pit on a Sabbath, so why can't I heal this guy's hand on the Sabbath? Okay? But it didn't. The Pharisees were blinded spiritually. They were stubborn. They were hard-hearted. They didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was. So instead of cheering and saying, way to go, Jesus, thank you for healing this guy's hand, here's what the Pharisees do, verse 14. They went out and they conspired against him how they could destroy him. So they wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to get rid of Jesus, okay? So that's their reaction to Jesus' miracles. Yes? Jesus does know their hearts. Yes, he does. He knows everything. Yes, good point. He knows. Okay? And that, and it's funny you say that, Mr. Hughes, because listen to the next verse, 15. Okay, 14 said they went out there and tried to figure out how they could destroy Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus was aware of this, and he withdrew from there. He left, okay? And many followed him, and he healed them all, okay? So Jesus knew those Pharisees were out to get him. They knew they were trying to scheme and plot and figure out a way to destroy Jesus, and Jesus knew this. So he kind of slid off the scene, okay? And that leads me to think of another thing. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't lose his life. It wasn't taken at some arbitrary time. Jesus went to the cross at exactly the right time, and he gave his life willingly. Excuse me, willingly. So Jesus was aware, just like you pointed out. That was a very smart one there, Mr. Hughes. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he got out of there. But it says people followed him, and he kept healing them. Verse 16, and he ordered them not to make him known. Verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. And then I'm going to read 18 to 21 here. This is quoting Old Testament scripture from Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. Okay, what that's all about is Jesus came as a lamb of God, a suffering servant, seeking and to save lost sinners. The first time he came, people wanted him to be the conqueror. People wanted him to wipe out Rome and lead Israel to political and, you know, geopolitical glory. But that's not what he came for the first time. He came to be a suffering servant. He came to be the Lamb of God. He came to be seeking lost sinners to save. Okay? Now, let's skip down for time. We're skipping down to 33. Okay? Has anybody ever heard the phrase, you'll know a person by their fruits? Have you ever heard that phrase? You'll know a person by their fruits? Okay? Let's see what Jesus says. 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. He's talking to the Pharisees, rebuking them here. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings good forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This section talks about how a person's words and a person's actions, what they say, what they do, are an outward evidence of their heart condition, okay, of their heart situation. Somebody who loves the Lord, somebody who loves others, are they going to be yelling and screaming at people? Are they going to be picking fights and being violent against people? Generally, no. No. They want to help people. They want to minister to people. They want to show love for people. Okay? But if you're somebody who's shaking your fist at God and you just have full of hatred and you don't like people and you don't like God and you don't like the Bible and you don't like Jesus, you're apt to be pretty violent. You're apt to be pretty antagonistic towards others. Okay? So that section was like saying, I can summarize it, a person's words and what they do outwardly are evidence of their heart situation inwardly. Okay, now verse 38, trying to wrap it up here. Okay, then some of the scribes and the Pharisees said, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them and said, An evil, adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. Does anybody know anything about Jonah? What was his job? Where was he supposed to go? And if you're into VeggieTales, this was the fish slappers episode. Where was he supposed to go? Anybody remember? The name of the city? Starts with an N. Isaac?
I forget the city, but it's like Jonah went to that city.
Nineveh. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, okay? And he didn't want to go because he didn't like the fish slappers. He didn't want them to hear the good news about God, okay? Then what happened to Jonah? He was on a boat, and then he went in the water. And then what happened to him?
Crash.
Well, he crashed into the water. And then you'd think he was going to drown, but what happened? Mr. Hughes, you remember? Well, he did save him, but how did he save him?
Well, the boat had a hurricane, and
Well, let's get to the part where he's in the water. What happened after that?
He went to the opposite side.
Well, how did he get there?
No,
silly.
A whale swallowed.
Yes, he was swallowed by a giant fish. Okay? He was swallowed by a giant fish, and how long was he in that fish? Boy, I would have to be teaching on the hottest day in December. How long was he in that fish?
3 days.
3 days and three nights. Jesus just said, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. Remember Jonah? What's Jesus talking about when he refers to Jonah? 3 days and three nights. What was going to happen to Jesus? He was going to die on the cross. He was going to be buried. 3 days, three nights. He was going to be resurrected. And the grave was going to be empty. Okay? That's the sign, he said. You guys want a sign? That's the sign. Jonah. Okay? 40, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man, who's the Son of Man again? Jesus, referring to himself, the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Okay, Jesus gave him a sign. He told him, this is what's going to happen. They didn't understand it, of course. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than the temple is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. Who's the something that's here that's greater than Jonah and greater than the temple?
Jesus,
talking about himself, okay? It goes on, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Something greater than the temple is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Solomon is here. Who's the something that's here that's greater than all those? Anna. Jesus, yes, Jesus is referring to himself. Jesus gets all the glory. Jesus gets all the praise. Okay? Now, let's skip down to 46 here. Got a couple minutes. Verse 46, while he was speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to a man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father is in heaven is my mother and sister and brother. Okay, so that's kind of a hard one to understand, but I think what Jesus is talking about here is earthly families are important. Yes, we love our moms, we love our dads, we love our brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. But our relationship to God, our relationship with Christ is even more important than that. Okay, I want you boys and girls to understand that. Okay? Your relationship to Christ is even more important than that. And we get to be called brothers or sisters in Christ if we do the will of the Father. That's what Jesus said there in verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother. Okay? So, briefly, are you a Christian? Do you know what it means to be a Christian? Okay? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross and was buried and was raised again from the dead to pay for your sins? If you believe that, you're on your way to heaven. And then you should get busy doing the will of the Father the rest of your life. Get busy loving others and loving God. Okay? Perhaps you don't understand all these things. If you have questions, please ask. Ask an adult. Okay? We all love you, girls and boys. We love you so much. We want you to hear the good news about Jesus. And we want you to go to heaven. Okay? Thank you for your lesson listening. You did great. We'll have a quick word of prayer and then we'll stop, okay? And then we'll have scripture remembering time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we can come together and teach and preach a portion of your word. Lord, please bless each of these girls and boys. Please bless their families. Lord, please save souls if it would be your will and add to our church. Please forgive us of our sins. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.